My name is Jason Doldane, and I'm the host of Reaching Roots, a podcast with a goal to make life easier for parents and families so they can reach further. We're talking to people who inspire us with their journey, tell us about the problems they are solving, and provide us insight that helps us and our children learn and grow. As kids across the country finish their school year on Zoom, more and more parents are wondering if homeschooling is the answer. Many parents fear they won't be able to juggle it on top of their own jobs and obligations. Lindsay Nerl is a mother of six and a freelance journalist whose own children learn at home. She has now committed to help making homeschool work for every family who wants it. In her book, Homeschool Hacks, Lindsay shares stories of homeschooling families with different backgrounds and motivations, dispelling the myth that it's only for religious folks or stay-at-home parents. Lindsay has been a trusted source for families since 2008. Her writing has appeared in various publications, including Time, Shape, Better Homes and Gardens, Reader's Digest, Family Circle, All You, and Women's World. In this episode, we talk to Lindsay about her experiences teaching six kids at home, and how you can create your own schedule, curriculum, and what tools you can access to navigate the world of homeschooling. Hey, welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit of your background and how you got started?
Sure. Well, I lived in Nebraska my whole life. I travel a lot with my children, but that's where I was born and raised. And I've returned there now with my six kids, my husband, all our animals. We have gardens. It is amazing life we have. No 2 days are the same. And it's allowed me to pursue a career in writing and do the homeschool thing and just kind of take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way, even if it seems kind of like, how are we going to make this work?
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, six kids, just the thought of that is daunting. But then you've also decided to actually homeschool them. So take us back to when you made that decision and why.
Well, you know, my husband and I, we were working kind of some non-traditional jobs in the sense where he was working nights and weekends, caring for adults with developmental disabilities. And I was working a 9-to-5 office type job. And we were moving around a bit and kind of feeling unsettled. And it occurred to us, you know, we could try this maybe for a year because we weren't really in a place where we knew this was the school system, the home we wanted to be in. And our schedules worked. And we had little ones at home. And we had my daughter who was about kindergarten age. And it became this experiment that never ended. She just graduated from college with her 4-year degree, just got her first big person career job that, you know, she was gearing up for. And we kind of looked back and said, you know, this experiment that we just kept prolonging, it worked. It somehow just all came together.
Wow. So how many kids do you have? Well, you've got six kids, but how old are they? What are their ages?
So the five at home are 17, 16, 14, 11, and 7, all boys. And then my only daughter, she's out of the house. She's 22.
Okay. And did you start homeschooling her from the very beginning?
Yes. So my kids have never been in like a public or private school setting. They've done many of the activities with some kids, you know, in different groups, but as far as like sitting at a desk for however many hours a day, they don't know that experience, of course, till they got into college.
Right. So, you know, I did a podcast on homeschooling a while ago, but I'm really interested in your perspective in terms of how did you actually get your kids to sort of integrate socially, given that they're not really, you know, in kind of an institution?
Sure. So the thing that was interesting to me is I kind of came from this thought that homeschooling was home, because that's what you think of. You think of kids sitting at the table, but really we have so many things going on in our life that's outside of the house. I take kids with me on work trips. They do sports, they do speech and debate, they do art and guitar and all the things. And none of those take place in our house. So there's a set number of hours where they're learning with like a tutor, or they're taking an online course, or I'm sitting with them and going over composition. But that's just a very small sliver of what, you know, homeschool life is.
Right. So it's the extracurricular activities around kind of like natural educational content.
Yeah. But even the educational part, you know, my daughter did very well doing community college classes in high school. It was cheap. It was half the price if she would have waited to do it after graduation. And they were really used to working with homeschooled high schoolers. So she got some credits out of the way. She got to really see what the rigor of post-high school academia would be like. And, you know, that's just an example of a bulk of schooling that took place not in the home.
Right. So you've written this book, Homeschool Hacks. Tell us, what was the motivation for that, and what's some of the content in there?
Sure. So I started it actually 7 or 8 years ago, but there's no market. And then 2020 came along, and all of a sudden these questions, same questions over and over again, right? What are we doing? How do we do this? So we got the book sold, and it's really trying to be an encouragement to show there's no one right way to do this. I have ways I like to do things. My neighbor will have something completely different. It really is as flexible as you need it to be. And what I really wanted parents to come away with is, if someone isn't already doing it and you feel like this might be the direction you need to go, you can make it, you can do it. I'm an entrepreneur. So if I see a business need and someone isn't offering it, I don't ask permission, right? I go with my gut. And homeschooling is a lot more of the go with your gut and meet your child and where they're at and find the thing that hasn't been created yet, rather than sit and wait for someone to tell you, you know, how you should do it.
Right. So I think you might have touched upon this right now, but obviously, you know, given that we had the pandemic, everybody sort of rethought school. We've had so much virtual school in the last year or so. People are thinking about, you know, what's the right option for them moving forward, continue as is, which is the easy option, right? And just hope that things are just going to get better and back to normal. But people have also thought about, you know, do I do private school? Do I do homeschooling? What would you say to a parent in terms of what the benefits are for homeschooling so that they could consider that?
Sure. Well, the benefits are more than just educational. So I think first and foremost, the pandemic really brought home the fact that there are things more important than reading, writing, and arithmetic. And while I picked homeschooling for the potential to give my kids a quality education, when you're getting out of a year where people have passed away, or you're considering your health, or you're considering what things are important to your family, time with your family is important. Getting to know your children and, you know, kind of coming together as a family and going forward with kind of like, what is our family's mission? I think homeschooling really supports that. Instead of you kind of every day going, is this the week they let the kids go back to school? Or is this the week that they cancel the sports? Or is it's like this holding your breath and waiting. It's such a hard place to be. And with homeschooling, while a lot of things were shut down, we're able to make our plan and say, okay, here's what we're going to do if this is canceled. Here's our plan B. Instead of waiting to be told, we made our plan. And it felt very empowering for us and our children, I think.
Right. So in a way, like taking control of your own sort of schedule.
Exactly.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So in terms of homeschooling itself, there's so much to think about, right? Parents are probably going through this thought and going, well, that's just like a lot of work. And I've also got a job. And so do I have to quit my job? And where do I really start if I want to start to actually homeschool someone? Do I really have the time and the capability to do this myself? So tell us a little bit about, you know, how would you sort of recommend going about it?
Sure. Well, first of all, the capability thing, I want parents to just take a breath and understand that you don't have to actually do the teaching for 100% of your homeschool if you don't want to. There are courses and tutors and people that are better versed than myself that are, you know, teaching my children chemistry. I was terrible in chemistry. So don't feel like because you are a homeschooler, you are also the instructor. And once you kind of get past that kind of myth, that opens up some opportunities to say, you're your child's administrator, and you've been administrating and managing your child since they were very tiny. So you've got what it takes to do this, I have no doubt. And then as far as the timing, you know, you do have to consider childcare. If you have very small children, they can't be left alone to teach themselves. But the number of hours, I think it was Khan Academy, when they kind of built this sample schedule for how to learn at home, they said, you know, 1.5 to 2 hours tops for children in the very low elementary grades. They can only retain so much of that new information. The rest is playing blocks, Play-Doh. We do a lot of Legos, that sort of thing.
Very interesting. So what do you do? Like, give us a view of your day.
Sure. So right now my children are actually homeschooling because we take so many breaks for different things that come up during the year. We go year round when we can. So right now my high schoolers are doing online history, literature. They have a science course they're trying to really quickly wrap up before the new one starts in September. They're going to take an online art class this afternoon together. We have all the supplies, you know, sitting there at the table for them. And then we have one that works jobs. They're going to go help their father in the garden a little bit later. And then they're getting ready tomorrow, washing all the laundry, to go to a summer camp that two of them work at. And they'll be gone for a couple weeks there. So as you can see, we sit at the table from 9 to 10 and we do math. And then 11 to 12, we do that. That doesn't work for us. It might work for a smaller family. But just like people with kids in public school, you're kind of rushing from here to there and going to sports and going to music. And that's all going on at my house, only instead of a teacher in a building somewhere else, they're in their rooms at their desk, much like they did a lot of people during the pandemic. They're getting their stuff out of the way so they can do all the fun things they want to do today.
Yeah. So that seems like a lot of planning. So are you sort of like spending a certain amount of time every single day just planning all of this?
I spend Sunday night sitting down and measuring and going, okay, if we need to, this course expires on September 1st and I paid this much money, you have to have this done. So how many lessons do we have to do a day to get done in time? And that's what I do every Sunday night. I plan it out and say, here's where we're at. Here's where we need to be. You need to do 3 maths this week or 5 arts or whatever it is. And the kids have to figure out, just like in college, some are better than others. And throughout the week, I check in and I say, you know, I see you're on TikTok. Have you done your science? And that's a lot of what homeschooling is.
Right. So I just want to dig into this a little bit more. So what you're saying is that you teach a few things, but you're actually sort of like leaning on external resources and courses and sort of integrating that into whatever your daily activity is.
Exactly. I'm more of a superintendent or administrator, if you will. I do teach writing because that's what I do for a profession. And I have a passion with that. And they tell me everything that's going on and I audit their classes. And, you know, I'm very involved from that sense, but I don't learn everything first and then turn around and teach it to them. I know of no teacher that could do that K through 12. It's just unrealistic.
That's a very good point. Cause I mean, that is what a lot of parents may be thinking, right? Is that, hey, you know, I need to have a teaching background to be able to be a teacher. What you're saying is you don't, you just need to be able to kind of orchestrate things.
Correct.
Right. So is this all expensive? You know, 6 kids, lots of courses that you're actually dipping into. Does it cost a lot of money? Because the alternative would be, government funded education at a school.
Well, there are 2 expenses. Opportunity cost, obviously, if I have kids at home, I have to be home. I can't go out and work during those hours. I have to find different hours to work or maybe a business at home. But the second cost, you know, we started with Dollar Tree workbooks and free printables off Pinterest. And it's not like it was 30 years ago where you don't have the Khan Academy where they have full entire courses online. You've got a lot of the colleges that have made their materials available for free. So it takes a little more work to use the free resources because you have to kind of mix and match and get it all together. But you could do it very affordably. I've started to invest more as time has gone on because we can now compared to when we were in the beginning of our our homeschool career, but also because my kids in high school have kind of told me what their passions are, and we can be more targeted with how we spend our money. You know, this child needs more expensive art supplies because he's creating a portfolio that will hopefully get him scholarships, that sort of thing. So it's more of an investment mindset, but you often don't want to do that with like a 5 or 6 year old when you're just kind of figuring things out, and you could do it with crayons and Legos.
Right. So would you have sort of a range from a cost perspective, like an annual basis or something, that a parent should think about?
Sure. Yeah. So extracurriculars are going to be your most expensive, and you have to pay for those even in public school. You know, they rarely send you home with the brand new football jersey and the trumpet. You have to figure that out. So I would say, you know, a couple $100s per child. The average, I think they stated, was $600 average across all income groups. So if you're earning much lower, get away with $50 to $100 for supplies. And then, you know, there are live online courses that range in the $700 to $900 just for one course, one semester, very one-on-one situation. And, you know, that's the most expensive option.
Okay. So would you need, you would probably need multiple of those, right? So, I mean, if I kind of put this together, what I'm getting out of it is that it could be kind of a couple of $1,000s or something per year per child.
Yes, it could. It could definitely, if you want to take advantage of everything that's offered, cheaper than a private school situation, but definitely not free. Just buying books, you know, libraries can do a lot, but I have several children. They all need their own copy of a book. So that won't work for us.
Right. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, it's not free, but it's not super expensive either.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough. So while you've been doing this, what challenges have you kind of found while teaching the kids at home?
I find it hard that, one, people think we have extra time, which is puzzling to me, because we do things at home and we're able to kind of flex around family needs or health needs. There's this perception that, oh, Lindsay and her kids are home, so they can do this, or they don't understand we actually have some extra challenges. And the other thing is this comparison trap that, you know, with the internet and social media, and one thing I was trying not to do with the book was say, hey, I have it all together and I have it all figured out and it's super easy and I'll sell you this program or this whatever. You know, it is not easy, but it is also not good to compare yourself to other people, because we only show the best of our worlds, right? So you see another homeschool parent and they're putting on their best face and showing you what all their children have accomplished, but they're not showing you when their kids are crying or when they're not doing math because they're having their challenges. And so you have to remember kind of what you're seeing from other parents might only be the good. And what was great about the pandemic was when everyone's kids were home, you were seeing a lot of parents just get very real. And I think that opened the door to communicating realistically about, you know, this is going to be rough for a while and you might not always feel good about how you're doing it, but the long-term benefits, I think, are worth it, at least for my family.
Right. And any challenges? I mean, you talked about some of the problems over there, but, like, you know, go into that a bit more, because I'm sure there are totally off days with the children where they don't want to do things and they're in a bad mood and it likely absorbs all of your capacity with one or two children. I mean, have you experienced situations like that? And, you know, how do you sort of get past that?
Yeah. So, you know, we have this kind of saying that you're all my favorite children, but not today. You know, you have kids that you're favorite kids that day. People need to remember that homeschooling can neither fix or make worse parenting. Okay. Parenting is parenting. If you don't have a good relationship with your child, you struggle with discipline, you struggle with communication, homeschooling isn't going to fix that, but neither will sending them away for someone else to teach them. When they get home at night and on the weekends, you're still going to have these same problems. So I sometimes hear people say, oh, Johnny won't listen to me. There's no way I can teach him math. Well, maybe you need to figure out why Johnny isn't listening to you, because giving him to another teacher to have to deal with, that's not necessarily going to fix Johnny's problem. And I'm sure that teacher doesn't necessarily appreciate that now they have to try to figure that out too. So I think confusing parenting problems with homeschooling problems, they are often the same problem and you need to fix it. And sometimes that can be very, very difficult and kind of hard to accept, but it needs to be done, I think.
But do you think there's any truth to, I mean, that, you know, kids, just because we are parents, there's a role that we actually play and that they may just need another person to listen for, to hear it from, so that, you know, they're getting a different perspective and they're just, you know, the ears are more open to that versus always hearing their parents nag them and things like that.
Definitely. And, you know, that's why you get the guitar teacher that all the kids love, or the art teacher, or the coach on the softball team. There is definitely space for more than one mentor, teacher, professional. That's why I said the homeschooling, being at home, is kind of a myth, because there are several very stable, wonderful, loving people in my children's lives helping to kind of mold them. But the difference is that I get to kind of check them out ahead of time and be like, okay, do I get a good feeling about this? Which, you know, it's not protective bubble, but it is definitely kind of vetting things and making sure that they're going to be right for my child and their learning style.
Yeah, good point. So how do you then sort of, you know, map whatever you're doing at home into sort of, you know, the kind of formal curriculum, right, of education, of the educational system, so that they're set up to, you know, graduate into that system, into college and into the work world?
Sure. Well, first you have to recognize not every child is college, you know, going to go to college. It might be a trades. Maybe they'll be an entrepreneur, come work with you in the family business. But once you kind of figure out, you know, you don't want to limit a child, so give them all the opportunities. But once you start to figure out what they're geared towards, you reverse engineer it. And most colleges will say you need 4 years of science and 3 years of math, and they'll lay it all out for you. And it is up to you as a parent to say, okay, my child is, you know, 15. How much math have they gone through? Do we need to maybe kick it up a little bit and go through the summer to make sure that we can get through that algebra 2 in time to take the ACT? You know, there is a lot of kind of forward thinking, but the pieces aren't difficult to put in because there are so many options out there. Like even PSAT, SAT, Khan Academy has some of the best free test prep available, and kids can log right on and keep working at it and watch their scores go higher. And that's all very, very accessible and available to parents who want to use it.
Yeah, I think you put it well when you said, you know, let's figure out the destination, then reverse engineer what you need. Really great point. So, Lindsay, how has homeschooling changed you?
Well, I'm a very controlling kind of person. You wouldn't know it because it seems like everything is out of control. But I lay awake at night like every other parent, and I worry about little teeny tiny things like, did my electric bill get there on time? You know, I'm that worrier. Homeschooling has really helped me, number one, get to know my children better. But with that, it's helped me let go a little bit. And I think the best thing about it is I always had such a poor self-esteem of myself. I got in trouble in school a lot. I talked a lot. I was the disruptive student. And come to find out, I just was very curious and I liked to learn. And I'm seeing some of these characteristics in my children that's just pure wonder and excitement. And it's helped me kind of reconcile how hard I was on myself for being maybe a bad kid in a school system. And it turns out I had potential, all children do, just maybe the environment I was in wasn't a good fit for me at the time. And that's a really great thing to learn at 42 years of age, that there's nothing wrong with me. I just, you know, it was dealt with what I was given and everyone tried their best. And now we know differently.
Yeah, you're continuing to increase your self-awareness.
Yeah.
So, is there one feeling that you have, and I ask this to all my guests, is there one feeling that you have as a parent that you would rather not feel?
I feel inadequate still. I still go, why am I the person that's qualified to, you know, my kid made it to adulthood and I still go, am I still qualified enough to do this? Which is silly. But, you know, I compare myself to others in business and life. I feel inadequate in things sometimes just because we do live in a very hyper media, you know, we see pictures of beautiful homes and we see reality TV shows, and it's hard not to compare. If I feel like I'm doing really well in one area, my clean house, then I'm like, oh, I totally forgot to do this. You can be good at everything, just not all at the same time. And I have to remind myself of that daily.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of other people may share those same feelings. So what is your hope for your audience?
So I'm not here to say, hey, homeschooling is the answer for everyone. Absolutely not. Families are so unique. But my hope is that anybody who thinks I'm not smart enough, or I don't have the background or the education, I don't even have a college degree myself. And that hasn't stopped me because, again, there's so many things available today to help parents that I would just hope they would investigate. Like, if you're feeling this little like unease, like maybe going into the fall, I'm not sure that this is best, but I don't know what is, just some hope that they'll kind of ask questions or investigate. You know, don't let the nagging feeling be ignored, because it might be an opportunity to do something really beautiful with your child.
Yeah, that's great. And tell us a little bit about, do you have a program or something around this? I think you mentioned that earlier, so I wasn't sure if you do or not. Obviously, you've got your book, but just tell the audience where they can reach you and anything else that you kind of offer.
Sure. So for now, I just have my book. It's homeschoolhacksbook.com, and it's just how I'm starting it. I really wanted to more highlight other families as well and kind of show the depth and the breadth of what different families look like in America right now with education. But if anyone ever has questions, I'm always available. I use Twitter a lot. And I just like to hear from families what they're struggling with. You can usually point them in the direction of some resource or an expert or a program that can fit their lifestyle and their budget, just to get you in that next step.
Great. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Lindsay. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. We would really appreciate if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send us any feedback to reachingroots@wishslate.com. Also, download the Wish Slate app to help organize wish lists for your family and change the way you gift. You can download this from www.wishslate.com/download. Thank you.